sharing good news of great joy to all people. Elation Church.
Joy is a spiritual principle. I'm going to say that again. Joy may be more than you think you know about it. It's a spiritual principle. Everybody say joy. Let's look at some Bible verses. Nehemiah 8:10. We sang about this today. The joy of the Lord is your strength. How many of you feel weak at times? And you could use some more strength to help you get through your day, to help you deal with the situation that you're dealing with. Who needs some more strength every once in a while? We can be found. Anytime you need strength, it can be found in the joy of the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Psalm 118, 24. I think we might have sang about this. This is the day the Lord has made. Look at the person beside you and say, today. God made it. God made today. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice. Everybody say rejoice. And be glad. Everybody say be glad in it. Here's the deal. If you're going to have any joy or rejoicing or gladness, it's going to be because you chose it. I'll say it again. Even though I don't have it written down, I think I can remember it. If you are going to have any joy or rejoicing or gladness in your life, I'm going to add a little phrase, in this fallen, messed up world, you're going to have to choose it. Because we all face a lot of choices every day, right? How many of you have the choice to be mad every once in a while, almost daily? How many of you have the choice to complain? How many of you have a choice to be sad? Hello? What I'm telling you is, joy is a spiritual principle, and you don't have to choose all those other things. You can choose joy. We've looked at this verse quite a few times. Luke 2:10. This is at Jesus' birth, at the announcement of his birth. The angel said, I bring you good tidings. They were talking to the shepherds. I bring you good tidings of great, exceedingly large, exceedingly loud, if you look at the word study, joy. So could we say that Jesus brought a new level of joy that is available in this earth? Jesus brought it. And guess what? He didn't take it back to heaven when we went back to heaven. He ushered it in. John 15:11. These are Jesus' words. I've told you these things. What did he tell us right before then? He said, well, I want you to do life with me. I want you to abide in me. Abiding is where we live. It's not where we visit. He says, abide in me. I'm the vine. I'm the source. And if you abide in me, my source is going to flow through you. Hallelujah. I might just preach myself happy today. And after he said that, he says, I want you to do life with me. I want you to do my kind of life. You can read the verses before it. He says, if you're connected with me and walking in the Spirit and living with me, you know what? That's the way to joy. He says, I've told you these things so that you will be filled filled with my joy. I told you these things. This is how to be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. So it's not just being filled with the joy of the Lord. It's overflowing with the joy of the Lord. That's what Jesus said. I didn't write this. Look to the person beside you and say, it's available. You just have to choose it. Romans 14:17. Oh, we've read this one a lot too. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Because everybody's just about, well, what can we eat? What should we eat? What shouldn't we eat? What should we drink? What shouldn't we drink? I mean, you know, in this society we're living around all these pagan temples and people are sacrificing food and all this kind of stuff, and then it's making available. They're selling it in the markets now after it's been sacrificed to some false gods. Should we eat that or not? Everybody's like, rules, 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 rules. So the kingdom of God is not all these rules. So many people think that Christianity is just about keeping a list of rules. Have you ever thought that before? It's about, well, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you shouldn't do that, and you shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't do that. Kingdom of God is not about that. If your religion is about rules, you're missing it. Kingdom of God, the eternal rule and reign of God that's now that Jesus ushered into this earth, it's not about the rules, but it's about righteousness. It's about understanding that we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ because of what Jesus did on the cross. And in relationship with Him, we are as righteous as we will ever get. We can't get more righteous. We can't be any less righteous because of what Jesus did on the cross. We're now clothed in His righteous robe. That happens at salvation. That's what the kingdom of God's about. The kingdom of God's about peace. So why do we always, I need peace. God, please give me peace. I want peace. I don't have any peace. Jesus has already given you more peace than you can handle. Overflowing peace. He's already given it to you. But you have to take it. You have to believe it. I mean, God's name is peace. He is Yahweh Shalom. So why do you think He's holding out on giving you peace? Don't ever think He's holding out on you. We need to receive what He's made available to us on a daily basis. But we're not done. The kingdom of God is about righteousness. Give righteousness. It's about the peace that surpasses all understanding that guards my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. And it's also about joy in the Holy Ghost. Glad one person got happy. If your religion does not have joy, if your experience with church or with God doesn't include joy, and peace and give righteousness, you're barking up the wrong tree. I don't know if that translates into another language or not, but you're focused on the wrong things. Galatians 5:22. Oh, we've read this one before. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Everybody say love. Joy, everybody say joy. peace, everybody say peace, and a whole lot more. Don't ever forget self-control, because that's in there too. We talked about that for several weeks. But the fruit of the Spirit, the kingdom of God is about joy in the Holy Ghost. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, part of that is joy. And the fruit of the Spirit should be continually increasing and not decreasing in our lives. I'll say that again, even though nobody asked for it. The fruit of the Spirit should be continually increasing. That's called spiritual maturity. When the fruit of the Spirit is increasing in our lives, hallelujah. Philippians 1:25. This is Paul talking. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all. You know, Paul just said, whew, I sure would like to go be with Jesus. I sure would like for my faith to be made sight. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm not dreading taking my last breath because I know what it's leading to. I don't fear my last breath. I'm not going to commit suicide or anything like that, but I don't fear my last breath because I know to be absent from this earth suit body is to be present with the Lord according to the Word of God. My faith will become sight. I'll be face to face with Jesus. Hallelujah. There's nothing to be afraid about if you're in Christ. It's nothing to fear. But Paul is saying, you know what? I'm torn between this because I want to go to heaven, but I've got work to do here. Look to the person beside you and say, you've got some work to do here. He says, I know that I'm going to abide, that I'm going to stay. I'm going to continue with you all. I'll just say y'all right there. With you. I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance. To help you grow spiritually, I need to stay, is what Paul said. Help you grow for your furtherance and joy of faith. Everybody say joy. Paul needed to stay because they hadn't really took hold of the joy that was available to them in Jesus. He's gonna keep on. So that their joy will be full, like Jesus said, and their joy will overflow. How many of you know Paul had some pretty bad days? There was a time when a lot of people said, hey, we're not even going to eat again until we kill Paul. Now, you may have some people that don't like you, but I don't know if anybody in this room that somebody says, I'm not even going to eat another meal until I kill you. Shipwrecked, whipped, beaten. I mean, he had some bad days. But he's like, I'm not leaving yet. Because you need to have more joy in your faith. You need to grow spiritually. I need to help you. I need to keep watering and feeding and watering and feeding and watering and feeding and watering and feeding until the joy of your faith rises. Philippians 4:4. I think we sang about this today too, because I get to pick out the songs. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And you might say, what's that have to do with joy? I'm glad you asked. Because rejoicing is the outward expression of joy. Rejoicing is the expression of joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Does it say rejoice in the Lord when everything is going wonderful? You know, you need to really rejoice in the Lord because, you know, everything's been going your way. Everything's perfect. Everything's so awesome right now. So you need to be rejoicing. Is that what it says? No, it says rejoice in the Lord always. And in case you didn't get it, the Holy Spirit says, and again I say, rejoice. Let your joy in the Lord, your joy in the Holy Spirit, let that come out. Let that be expressed always. How many of you know that you're going to have to choose for it to be always? Because like we've already said, you've got the opportunity to gripe, complain, be sad. You've got the opportunity. You're not the only one who has the opportunity to be overcome with fear. Everybody in this room, how many of you have the opportunity to complain every once in a while? Raise your hand. How many of you have the opportunity to be filled with fear and be afraid? Who has that opportunity every once in a while? Who has the opportunity to just get mad sometimes? I heard somebody say this, so I'm going to repeat it because it just hit my brain right now. Listen, you can get glad in the same britches that you got mad in. I thought that was funny. Some people try to over-spiritualize joy to the point where believers say, you know what? I must have it. But I don't know what it really is. If the Bible says I have joy, then I must have it, but I just don't know. I'm going to tell you something. This preacher right here has stood in the pulpit and said, because I heard somebody else say it and I thought they were smart, joy is like the deep current in a river. Now, happiness, joy and happiness have nothing to do with each other, because happiness is like the rapids and the movement on top of the river, but joy runs deep. Joy is what's there whether you see it or not. You know, that river's moving whether you see it or not. It can look real still, but what's moving it is that joy that you can't really see. I've said that. Has anybody ever heard a preacher say that? Well, this preacher has said it, thinking I was being real spiritual, right? Here's what I was doing. I was over-spiritualizing joy. Where you say, well, I must have it. I really don't know what it is. All I had to do was look in the Bible and look at the word and look at the definition of the word that the Bible uses. The Bible, New Testament, is written in Greek, right? So we need to look it up and just see. And guess what? It didn't say anything about deep current. It's not what it says. Biblical joy, the joy that we're talking about, it's not hard to grasp. It's not a hard to grasp spiritual concept. It can't be seen. The Greek word is chara. Hope I said that right. Unless I need to say kahara. I don't know. Thanks for laughing. I thought it was funny. Here's what it means. Every time you read the word joy in the New Testament, here's what it means. It means exceeding joyfulness. It means gladness. It means rejoicing. I've got a question. How much of that is invisible? Is any of that invisible? Can you have any of that with a big scowl and a frown on your face? Looking like your mama gave you a bottle with lime juice in it growing up. Just,
bless God, I have joy.
I'm just telling you what the word says. I don't think you can have exceeding joyfulness or gladness or rejoicing without it being noticed by the people around you. As I was studying, I'm like, boy, you got a ways to go. Just like we talked about the other week about the Word of God being like a mirror, and you see yourself in the mirror. And then you start looking at this and you're like, boy. The good thing is when you get out of the mirror, all of a sudden it's like it's cool again because you think that you have joy. But in the mirror of the Word of God, you can tell that you need to be choosing joy more than you've actually been choosing joy. And you might not have even realized that you can choose joy. But it's a spiritual principle. If it wasn't a spiritual principle, it wouldn't be in the Bible over 400 times. C.S. Lewis says, joy is the serious business of heaven. I agree with him. I mean, it's not a Bible verse, but he said, joy is the serious business of heaven. I can't prove it biblically. Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence, in God's presence, is fullness of joy. What does fullness of joy look like? Just a dab of joy? Is it a dab of joy? Little dab will do you? No. In your presence is fullness of joy. Here's another one. Luke 15:10. We've read this a few times too. There's joy. Everybody say joy. Celebration, rejoicing, gladness, cheerfulness. There's joy in the presence of God's angels. Who's in the presence of God's angels? Who's in the presence of God's angels? I hope I've already corrected this in so many of you, but maybe you think that it's the angels that are rejoicing and having joy. Because I grew up thinking that. It says there's joy in the presence of God's angels. Well, God's seated on the throne. Jesus is at his right hand. They are in the presence of the angels in heaven. Also, those who have gone before us in faith, having faith in Christ, they are there in the presence of the angels. So there's rejoicing and celebration and gladness and joy going on in heaven whenever one sinner repents. Now listen, I think there are over 8 billion people in the world. How many of you think that people are repenting on a pretty regular basis if there's 8 billion? Are you with me? Do you think that people might continually be repenting out of 8 billion? That the repenting never stops on earth? Is that a fair statement? So what does that tell us? There's a whole lot of joy. There's a whole lot of rejoicing. Because it bumps up a notch every time one person, I mean, it takes a little while to rejoice, right? But it just keeps compounding and compounding and compounding and compounding. Hey, there's a lot of joy and celebration and rejoicing and gladness in heaven. Heaven is a very happy place. But yet I grew up thinking that God was like one of the Supreme Court justices and he's just sitting there looking at everybody. Oh, I'm going to get you for that. Oh, I'm going to get you for that. You shouldn't have had that thought. I'm going to get you. You shouldn't have said that. I'm going to get you. You shouldn't have done that. I'm going to get you. That's just the way I grew up. It's just the concept I had. If you've never had that concept, God bless you. Because it's a bad concept. Heaven's a happy place. Heaven's a place of joy and rejoicing and gladness. And anybody that really gets in God's presence taps into some supernatural joy. Right? I'm going to say it again. If you will tap in to the manifested presence of God, you will have supernatural joy available to you no matter what's going on around you, just like you can have supernatural peace in your life no matter what's going on around you. Hallelujah. Help us take it. Like I've said multiple times, joy is a key spiritual, try to put spiritual and principle together. Joy is a key spiritual principle that's often overlooked. The concept of joy and rejoicing appear over 400 times in the Bible. If it's in the Bible over 400 times, do you think that God's serious about it? Billy Sunday, old preacher, I can't remember when he was a preacher, but I think he was a baseball player. Am I correct? Baseball player, professional baseball player turned preacher. Here's what he said, and I agree with him too. That's why I've got his quote up here. If I didn't agree with him, I probably wouldn't have his quote. The trouble with many people is that they have just enough religion to make them miserable. Just enough to make them miserable. If there's no joy in your religion, you've got a leak somewhere. John Wesley. Here's what he said. Sour godliness is the devil's religion. A joyless Christianity is a religion that's false and encouraged by our spiritual enemy. God wants you to be happy. Everybody say blessed. Every time you read that word blessed, what does it mean? Supremely blessed, happy, well off. How many of you believe God wants to bless his children? Made his blessings available to his children? So God wants you to be happy and God wants you to have joy. I've got a lot of preacher friends that would be mad at me for saying that. And I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for them. But what if you're not experiencing the blessed life, the happiness of God? What if you're not experiencing true joy? Well, how many of you know what this is? Might be because you're not tuned in correctly to the Word of God. I was the youngest of four. I know this is hard to believe, but we had three VHF stations and two UHF stations that were available. I was the youngest. Mom and dad, three older siblings. I was a remote too. There's no such thing as a remote. If the channel had to be changed, it wasn't just walking up to the TV and clicking. It was like a big dial. 1 through 13 was your VHF stations. So it would click. It had a big knob in the middle that you would click to those stations. But just because you put it on channel 7, it doesn't mean that Spartanburg showed up. So it wasn't just clicking the station. No, the antenna was on top of the TV, and we thought it picked up better if we wrapped tinfoil around the top of the antennas. That little circle that you see is for UHF channels. The other ones are for VHF channels. So we put tinfoil on them, and you had to turn it towards Spartanburg to pick up Spartanburg. Then you had to turn it towards Greenville. If you want to go to channel 4, you had to turn it towards Greenville to get channel 4. And then Asheville didn't come in great. That was channel 13, but to get Asheville, you had to turn it towards Asheville. And it was still pretty fuzzy most of the time. Had to be tuned in. Public broadcasting. Can't remember what channel it was on. It was on UHF. But there was a Christian station in Greenville that was channel 16. You didn't have to turn that circle. For some reason, UHF came in better than VHF. But it was a long way away, not as powerful. So it was kind of rough, had a lot of static. When you turn on the TV, I might as well throw this out there. When you turn on the TV, you had to stand there and wait. And then a little light would show up right in the middle of it. And then it would kind of go across, and then it would kind of get bigger. Anybody know what I'm talking about? One of the great things that happened that should happen today is right at midnight, every station cut off. Every station showed an American flag and played the national anthem. And then it was like, we're done. Off. Huh? Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? That'd be nice. Now we got 800 channels and nothing to watch. Don't have anything to watch. Anyway. So if you're not experiencing the joy of the Lord, joy in the Holy Spirit, maybe you're just not tuned in correctly. Hopefully those verses helped you tune in just a little bit. Or maybe you're experiencing some things in this life that try to steal your joy. Because there's some joy stealers. Sometimes expectation can be a joy stealer. It's good to have expectation. But it's not good to say, I'll be happy or I'll have joy when this happens or when that happens or when this day gets here. You know, always pushing it out sometime to the future. You got to choose it now. You got to choose it today. And if your expectations are, well, you know, if all this falls into place, then I can be glad. And I can be cheerful. And I can have joy. And I can rejoice if everything lines up exactly like the way I want it to. Look at the person beside you and say, good luck on that. Conflict. We just said that we have the opportunity to be mad sometimes. Well, we face conflict, right? If we live in this broken world, we have some conflict coming our way. But it's up to us to choose how we're going to respond to that conflict. It's up to us. Is getting mad really going to make a difference? All it's going to do is steal your joy. Wouldn't it be so much easier to say, you know what? They did me wrong. They said something that made me feel bad. But you know what? I'm not going to let it steal my joy. Stay in control of your own feelings. Pain in the past. Some people don't think they ever can experience joy like we're talking about, cheerfulness, gladness, rejoicing, celebration. They think that they will never be able to experience that again because of something that happened in their past. If that has ever been an issue for you, please, please, please do whatever you can to be here next Sunday. Because what happened to Ken, there was no fault of his own. Just the way his life turned out. If anybody could say, because of what happened to me in my past, I will never be able to be happy. I'll never have joy. I'll never be able to rejoice. I'll never have gladness. If anybody can say it, he can say it. But he made a choice. Pain of the past. Here's the deal. God's a healer of your broken heart. That's what he does. That's who he is. He will give you beauty in the place of the ashes in your life. And he will give you the oil of joy in the place of mourning. Some people are just stuck in mourning for the rest of their life. Stuck. But God will give you the oil of joy. He'll bind up your wounds, the Bible says. Troubles. Anybody face any troubles? Cast all your care on the Lord because he cares for you. Troubles that come your way can steal your joy if you let them. And here's the deal. Don't get mad at me because I'm trying to help you. Troubles cannot steal your joy unless you let it. Troubles cannot steal your joy unless you let your troubles steal your joy. Psalm 51:12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. There's joy in our salvation. Psalm 35. Weeping may endure for a night. Look at the person beside you and tell them, don't get stuck. Don't get stuck. Don't get stuck. The biggest thing you face should, I mean, it might possibly knock you for a loop, but don't get stuck. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Here's where we're going to focus the rest of our time. Look at the person beside you and say, listen fast. James 1. We spent a lot of time in James lately. James 1, verse 2 through 4. Here's some instruction. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind, everybody say any kind. When troubles of any kind come your way, hello. When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Have I been telling you the truth up until now? When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know something. You know something. That's how, listen, it's raining. It's going to be okay. Going to have great joy loading out in the rain. Hallelujah. Getting wet to your socks and your drawers. Hallelujah. At least God has given me the strength to be able to do it. Hello? He's given me the strength to be able to do it. I could be laid up in a hospital somewhere and not be able to do it. Hallelujah. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy because you know something. For you know. We're going to read the rest of it, but I just wanted to stop at for you know. Now, I know you didn't want me to dissect every word of this, but I spent a long time, over an hour, and you don't want to spend another over an hour, I'm pretty sure. But I did an in-depth word study of the words to this, so I have a DFV version for you, Dean Forrest version, okay? The first one was NLT, New Living Translation. This is the Dean Forrest version after doing a word study on every word in these verses. Choose joy, gladness, and rejoicing. Let joy, oh boy, when it says consider it all joy, it means to esteem it all joy. It means to judge it joy. It talks about authority. Let joy have the rule and authority over all your trouble. Come on, somebody. When we face trouble, what we have to do is we have to make a ruling, a judgment. We got to consider it and esteem it. No matter what we're seeing, we're going to count it joy. Because we're going to let joy have rule and authority over our trouble. We're going to let joy have rule and authority over our adversity. We're going to let joy have rule and authority over our temptations. We're going to have let joy have rule and authority over the trials of our integrity. Does anybody encounter some of this stuff every once in a while? Is your integrity ever on trial? Hello? Let joy have the rule and authority over any evil experience that you encounter. Would anybody say you face some evil experiences in your life? Even not a fault of your own? How can you choose joy, gladness, and rejoicing? How can you let joy have the rule and authority over the troubles that you face? Because you know something. I'm trying to remember how to pronounce it. Kara. There's two words here. Kara and Karis. Can you just look at these words? I want you to look at these words. The first one is joy. The second one is grace. I was just blown away when I saw this. I found it in some word help studies that I was reading and stuff, and I'm just like, really? I should have known it. All my edumacation and stuff. I should have known it. But can you tell that there's a pretty serious relation or a connection between joy and grace? Just by looking at the words? Can you tell? Well, joy and grace are connected. Here's what you know. Here's how you can choose joy, gladness, celebration, rejoicing, even in the face of trouble, because you know something. You know God's grace. Paul was facing a difficult time. And the Holy Spirit told him, my grace is sufficient for you. What I have done for you, what I have accomplished for you, my acts of favor and kindness towards you, my promises that I purchased when I took on flesh and became a man and laid down my life, everything that I accomplished, everything that I've promised to you, no matter what you're facing, listen, that's more than enough. Here's what you know. I can count it all joy when I face trouble, because I know something. I know that God's acts of kindness and favor have made provision for me in this very situation that I'm in. The provision has already been made. The promise has already been forgiven. Given, not forgiven. The promise has already been given. The problem is, most of the time we don't know it. And when we don't know it, it's hard to count it all joy when we face the trouble if we don't know that God has already provided. Are you with me? I don't want to weave you in somewhere that you don't have a clue of what I'm talking about. You got to know. You got to know. You got to know that in Christ, who you are in Christ, that you're more than a conqueror, that the blessings of Abraham is yours. You got to know that. You got to be confident in it. I know it. You got to say, I see what I'm facing right now, but I know something. I know that God's going to supply all my need. I know that I'm the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. I know that I'm a new creature. I'm a new creation in Christ. I know that. I know that I can do all things when I'm in Christ. I can do all things that He is leading me to do and call me to do, the situations that I face. I know that I'm going to triumph in all things. Because I know God's promise. I know something. Because my faith in God already knows the outcome. I can count it all joy because I know something. By faith in God's grace, gifts, and promises, I already know the outcome. I know where I'm going to wind up. The Bible even tells us that Jesus was able to endure the cross. Everybody say trouble. He was able to endure the cross. How? Because of the joy that was set before him. He knew what was going to happen. He knew the outcome of him dying on the cross. He knew what he was going to accomplish for you and for me. So he endured it. Found joy in it. Because of the outcome. Football season's here, so I got to tell them a little story again. Because some of you hadn't heard it. And some of you have probably forgotten it. I love college football. Well, I better change that. I enjoy college football. I love people and I love God, but I enjoy college football. Is that fair? Oh, boy. I like my teams. I get excited. You might not want to be around me when I'm watching a football game. Because if my quarterback takes a sack instead of throwing it away, you're going to hear me coaching through the TV. As they got him tied up, I'm going, throw it away, throw it away. I mean, I get worked up watching football. It's like, I was a defensive back in high school. So I'm like, why are you giving him 12 yards? Why are you standing 12 yards off the line? They're just beating you to death, throwing that little short slant right in front of you. Get up in his face. Bust him one good time and back up quick. They're killing us. Don't you know how to play cornerback? You're not a safety. Get 3 to 5 yards in front of him, not 12. I mean, I coach. It sounds like you're out. Anyway, here's the deal. If I don't get to watch the ball game live, there are opportunities to watch replays. Some people say, don't tell me the score because I haven't seen it yet. Don't tell me the score. I'm like, tell me the score. Here's why. Because if my team loses, I don't even want to watch it. Right? We lost. Why do I want to watch us lose? If my team wins, I want to watch it. But here's the deal. If I'm watching a replay and I know that my team's already won, I watch the game a whole lot differently. Right? I don't get all worked up. It's okay if he gets sacked because I know we won. It's okay if they keep getting those short, you know, end slants and keep getting, it's okay if you're not playing up close because we already won. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it. I watch it differently because I already know the outcome. You better listen. Because we already know the outcome by faith, based on God's promises, and based on our confident hope that God is faithful, our faith in his faithfulness, we can live our lives in a different way, people. We can choose joy every day, no matter what we face. because we know the outcome. When we're standing in faith, if we're not standing in faith, we may not have a good outcome. It's not just up to however the wind blows. It's up to us knowing the promise of God, wholeheartedly believing the promise of God, agreeing with the Word of God, with our words, and taking hold of it. Having complete confidence that God's going to keep His promises. And when I stand in faith, I know the outcome of my day. I know the outcome of my week. I know the outcome of my month. I know that I'm standing in an opportunity. Every time I face trouble, I know I'm standing in an opportunity to see the goodness of God about to break loose in my life. That was my next slide. When count it all joy, because we're in a position where we are about to see God do something amazing when we're standing in faith based on His promise that He's already made that has everything to do with this trouble and this situation that we're facing today. God doesn't have to create a whole bunch of new promises just to get you out of your situation. Hallelujah. Some of you looking at me like, what? Verse 3, for you know that when your faith is tested, everybody say, fight the good fight of faith. Fighting the good fight of faith is where we're standing. When we count it all joy, we're fighting a good fight of faith right in the middle of it. Oh, you should remember that. Counting it all joy is fighting the good fight of faith. When you face trouble, if you'll count it all joy, that is fighting the good fight of faith. You know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. Everybody say, let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. That only comes when you count it all joy. That's key to this text. Here's a DFV for the last two verses. Standing in faith with confident expectation without wavering in the middle of your trouble, right, is what we're talking about, will produce something in you. It'll produce a cheerful, hopeful, steadfast endurance. A constancy is another definition of that word. That will keep you from failing are being destitute. You go do a word study on these verses and you'll find everything that I've put here. So here's the deal. Counting it all joy in the middle of the trouble because you know something, right? And if you stand, and you stand on the grace of God, his favor and his acts of kindness towards you, his goodness towards you, his promises towards you. If you'll keep standing, if you'll keep choosing joy, something's going to be produced on the inside of you. It's going to bring the best results. It's going to produce a cheerful, hopeful, steadfast endurance, a constancy that will keep you from failing. How many of you know that choosing joy will keep you from failing? Just because God promised it doesn't mean that you're not going to fail. in different areas of your life, right? Some of us want to say, because God promised it, is, you know, why am I failing? If God's promised, why did I lose? God must not be keeping his promises. Bless your heart, you must not be choosing joy and choosing to fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Here's my last slide. Everybody say last slide. Here we go. The level of your joy, the level of your rejoicing, the level of your gladness is an indicator. It indicates something. Because if you don't have joy, rejoicing, and gladness, you know what? Your faith is very weak. If you don't have joy, rejoicing, and gladness, the level of your trust in God, your confidence in God, that he's going to keep his promises, your faith is very weak. But when you have it, when you choose it, when you choose it, when you choose joy, because you know something. And what you know is based on what God has said and what God has done, right? We're not just choosing joy. This is not just some kind of secular, you know, theory. We're choosing it based on what we know. And when we stand, we will have joy. When we stand in faith, we will have joy. We will have rejoicing. We will have celebration. If we're really in genuine faith, believing that God is faithful, believing that he's going to keep his promises that we found in Scripture and we're standing on. You might have to stand a while. We think, oh, if we do this for 5 minutes, then wow, you know, God's holding out on me because it didn't happen in 5 minutes. No. Sometimes it takes a while. But in your waiting, choose joy, gladness, rejoicing. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your truth. We take hold of your word. We see areas of our life where we're not living up to the standard of what you provided for us, to what you want for us, to how you want us to live. We see that we're coming up short. But we receive your word. And from today on, we're going to be doers of your word, not just hearers. In Jesus' name, amen.
This online worship experience was brought to you by the friends and partners of Elation Church.